We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorites, Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you doing this morning,
Good,
brother?
How are you?
I'm blessed and highly flavored with his favor. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts. Wait. We do record in two parts and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. That's okay. Right. Our sponsor today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. We don't have cue cards, y'all.
I can verify that.
Today is Tuesday. However, we did not have Truth Podcast last week or so. So we're going to go ahead and do a double blessing this week. You'll get two Truth Podcasts this week. So the message from Pastor Dwight today, he's not in the building, but the message from him today will be new in Christ. So remember to stay tuned after the program. We'll end this live broadcast, and then we'll restart the iPad and come back with the word from Pastor Dwight. Remember to like, share, and comment so we know you're tuned in this morning.
That's a lot.
Yeah, man. And my mind is like going, my brother's having a procedure. My friend's pacemaker went off. This, that, this. Yeah. I love you, Neva.
That.
I take it back.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I said I wanted to be like Neva Pot when I growed up.
There's a term that says no comment to that. I love Neva too. She's great.
She's awesome sauce. Would you please pray to start us out?
Sure, sir. Can. Let's pray. Gracious God, for the next little bit, we ask that you calm our hearts, focus and center our minds, show us your way, help us to follow in your footsteps, so that everything that goes on in our lives, the hustle, the bustle, the speed, the fast, the slow, even all of it, we can see you part of it. And for that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title.
Okay.
A Forgiving King.
Yes. So, we're going to look today and talk a little bit about, I'm just going to be honest with you. We're going to go back to school today.
I like school.
Okay. We're actually going to go back to English class.
Oh.
Yeah, don't seem so disappointed. There was something back in the day, somewhere in middle school English, where they talked about juxtaposition. Do you remember that?
I remember the word.
Okay. So here's your English lesson for the day. Juxtaposition is when you intentionally put words together. Now, sometimes those words make sense together.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't. When they don't, that's when you should pay attention. Because something's trying to be said. Okay? I remember it was described to me when you say something as icy hot. Those two words are not the same. But you knew what I meant. Right? And so today, we're going to look at two words that on their own have great power. Are words that I think even a child could maybe understand. But juxtaposing them together, putting them together, I don't know if I can get it. We might understand the word king. We might even maybe understand the word forgiving. But putting those together? A forgiving king? That just doesn't compute. When I think about it, I think back to my childhood. I really enjoyed watching, you know, when I was a kid, the kids' shows like on PBS or whatever. And I really liked Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, as I tell people, I don't like to be teased about that because we don't spell our name correct, same and all that. But it is what it is. I've lived with that all my life. But I loved Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I really liked it when they went to the Kingdom of Make-Believe. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. And my favorite character, this shocks probably everyone who knows me, was King Friday. Okay? I'm in charge of the things I participate in, so I like being in charge. King Friday's my guy, right? Well, there was a set of episodes, again, I was a kid, but I just remember them. You know how in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you started the story on Monday, and by Friday, you resolved it, right? Well, on Monday, one of the people who lived in the Kingdom of Make-Believe actually hurt the feelings of King Friday. And so they asked King Friday on Monday what he was going to do. And he said, I'm the king. I won't forgive them. I have the power. I'm going to banish them. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the person gets banished. And finally they all, you know, by Friday, King Friday says, you know, I should ask for, you know, I should offer forgiveness and all. It's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But that makes sense to me. Kings have power. Yeah. They don't have to answer to anybody. And they certainly don't have to be forgiving. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I love fantasy shows with kings and kingdoms and stuff like that. I know it wasn't always the nicest show, but I liked like Game of Thrones and all that kind of stuff. And kings are about power and armies and riches. Forgiveness is not one of the ways I would describe a king. And yet, one of the things we are confronted with as the people of God is that is exactly how Jesus wants to be known. And so that causes a little consternation for me. Again, I might get king, and I might even get a little bit of forgiveness, but the idea that those would be together really defies expectation. So let's kind of break it down. Let's look at each word a little bit, and then we'll put them together. Let's start with forgiving. Okay, forgiveness. One of my favorite forgiveness passages is Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. And the first story, and there's two stories in there, but the first one is good old Peter. Now, every time we talk about Peter, you know, sometimes, especially at church, I'll go, now, bless his heart, you know, because he's about to say something either really smart and then mess up, or really stupid and continue to mess up. This is one of those times I feel for Peter, because he comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Should I forgive them 7 times? Now, first off, before we start to laugh because we know where this is going to go, how many of us forgive once? How many of us actually maybe forgive twice? By 3, I've long forgotten. So, I actually think Peter kind of feels good about this. Like, he's like, Jesus, I'm not going to forgive once 7 times. 7's a holy number, right? I mean, I think Peter's kind of proud of himself. I think he's like, I'm going to show this. I'm going to show Jesus how much I've learned.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm going to forgive 7 times. And Jesus' response is, no, Peter, not 7 times. But 77 times, or 70 times 7, depending on which translation, it doesn't matter. Whether it's 77 or 490, who in their right mind can forgive that many times? He actually gives an impossible number. Peter thought, hey, 7. And 7, by the way, is a lot. That's why I feel for Peter here, because I really do think Peter thought, I got it. I'm going to go to Jesus. He's going to be so proud of me. And then he's like, oh. But this astronomical number. And what Jesus is really after, and we're going to talk about it in the follow-up story to this, but one of the things that Jesus is really after, and it's a difficult thing for us to understand, is that we view forgiveness typically as a transaction. Mm-hmm. So, I've done something wrong. We'll just start with the easy one, okay? Before you got here, I was talking about you to Tina. Okay? So, I have erred, right? So, now I've come clean, and now I'm going to ask you for your forgiveness. Hopefully, you're a nice person, and you will say, I forgive
you. It's all good, brother.
I forgive
you. I love you.
Okay?
It's good.
That's transactional, though, because I made a mistake, I asked, you gave. That's a transaction, mm-hmm. right? Same thing we do a lot with God. All right, Lord, you know I didn't do that right today. And the scripture says when you ask, the Lord will forgive. And so we believe that. So that's a transaction. What Jesus is after is not a transactional view of forgiveness, though. He's actually telling Peter, it's not that you're going to sit there and count up to 490 times or 77 times, some astronomical number of times on not having the fingers and toes for that. But what Jesus is telling Peter is forgiveness should become part of who you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not just something you say. It's not even just something you do. But it's actually who you are. Now, that's a deeper level of forgiveness. That's a relational view of forgiveness. Because the truth is, every day there are people who do things to us and we do things to others. Sometimes intentionally, hopefully most of the time unintentionally. But we do those things. And if we live in a transactional world where everything has to be a transaction, sins will never get forgiven. Because remember, This harkens back to one of the hardest statements that many of us literally say every Sunday at church, and many of us do every day, but that line in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. There's an as we. It's not just, because I love the first half, right? I mean, I am all over that first part of that. Forgive us our trespasses or forgive us of our sins. Oh, I love that part. Thank you. I mean, let's just put a period there. Jesus put a comma there. I was like, Jesus, let's go back and edit. I want to call the editors of the Bible. You know, I mean, hey, let's just fix that real quick. Put a period there. But it's forgive us our sins or our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. Mm-hmm. You see, that's a relational issue. It's not a transactional one. And Peter, bless his heart. Look, I'm not, this is one time I'm not really picking at Peter. In fact, if anything, I feel for Peter because I think about forgiveness Peter's way. Very transactionally. But Jesus is trying to teach him something different. And so he follows up with this. So Peter, my guess is, again, we don't know exactly this, but my guess is he says this to Peter, and then, you know, how you do. You know how we do, right? We say something, and then we tell a story about it because we're like, let me make this a little bit clearer for you. Jesus says, hey, I want to tell you a story about a master who had some servants. And this first servant, we're going to call him servant number one, actually owes the master a large sum of money. Now, when I say a large sum of money, in the scripture, I believe it says 10,000 bags of gold. Yeah. Now, just for frame of reference, okay, this would be the equivalent of nearly a century, 100 years of wages, possibly even more. Now, think about that for a moment. Think about if you owed someone 100 years of wages. Kind of mind-blowing, right? It is an astronomical number. Now, we just talked about an astronomical number, right? When we talked about forgiveness is relational, not transactional, right? Well, here's another astronomical. You really can't put a value on this. I mean, 10,000 bags of gold, I get it, but really, that amount of money is just incomprehensible. And the master says, it's time to settle account. And the servant, of course, begs, gets on his knees and begs, says, look, I don't have it. I'm so sorry. And under the pretenses of the first century, could be thrown in debtor's prison. His wife, his property could be sold to pay the debt. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. But the master in this story does something crazy. I mean, it really is crazy. He forgives the entire debt. Now, for a moment, I want you to think about what it would be like to release an astronomical amount of weight and stress from your life at one moment. I was at a conference one time. This is how I describe this to people, but I was at a conference one time, and they had us all stand up, and they said, we want you to, one of those icebreaker things. They said, we want you to make a pose with your body, like make yourself a sculpture, and how you feel at this very moment. You know, so some people are like, you know, and all these different things, right? All these different funny faces. And I kind of made this image. I kind of leaned over and I had this image. I don't know why, I just did it. Well, the guy who was facilitating it, of course, picked on me. Came over to where I was. Made me stand there. I'm like, okay, I'm tired of this. This is. Mm-hmm. He said, you look like Atlas. Do you remember the picture, the sculpture of Atlas, you know, where he's holding the world on his shoulders? And said, what would it do if you literally could pick the world off of your shoulders and take it off? And I thought, wow. So he said, what would that look like? And I went, oh. And he said, there's no reason for you to carry the weight of the world when the world actually belongs in the hands of God. That's the feeling. Did you feel that? So servant number one is now free of this debt he's never, ever, ever going to repay. I can't even imagine the relief, the freedom. And if that was the end of the story, which I wish it was, because then we could just do the forgive us our sins part and put a period, this story would be amazing. And we'd be like, oh, yeah, I like this story. Don't you? Don't you like this guy? I mean, this is pretty cool. I want to be servant number one. Don't you want to be servant number one? Right? Who doesn't want to be servant number one? But just like forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, there's a comma there, not a period. And he says, so the first servant leaves this scene and he starts to walk back and runs into servant number two. Now, servant number two owes servant number one a few bags of silver. Now, the equivalent would be 3 to 5 days of wages. So now, remember the first guy, hundreds of years of wages. This guy owes, you know, maybe a week's worth. Good week's pay. And so the first servant goes, you know what? I was forgiven. You're forgiven. All's good. Right? Isn't that the way the scripture reads? Did the editors mess this one up? No. In fact, the scripture says, Jesus tells this story and he says, the first servant gets mad at the second servant and throws him in debtor's prison. And he says, you're going to pay me back everything you owe me. Huh. So that's transactional. The first one, relational. This one's transactional because the truth is, does the second servant owe the first one money? Yes. But there's no correlation relationally between what happened between the master and servant number one as opposed to what happened between servant number one and number two. Servant number one doesn't get it. You've just been forgiven of massive amounts. And yet, you won't forgive on the smallest level. So, of course, as the story goes, the other servants kind of tell on him, which no surprise there. Master gets mad. It's a bad story. It ends terribly. But the reality is, he's telling Peter this, and I can imagine Peter trying to decipher between these two. It's not that offering forgiveness transactionally is wrong. But forgiveness is actually supposed to be something that we embody. That we become forgiveness because we are forgiven. The idea that we have a debt that we can't repay. I mean, obviously, here we go into a little preachiness, right? But we have this debt we can't repay. And because of Jesus, it's, you know, we're set free and forgiven. But yet, how quick we are at times to receive, you know, forgive us our sins. And how reticent we are to forgive others as we've been forgiven. We want God to act relationally while we act transactionally. What Jesus is doing, I think, in the Gospel of Matthew here, is he's trying to teach Peter, and by the way, us as well, that forgiveness is something that becomes who we are. It becomes our language. It becomes our default. When I take inventory of my life, I don't always think of forgiveness as the first word. But maybe I should. Maybe I should hope to aspire to that. Because that's what Jesus is really talking about. He wants us to understand forgiveness in its bigger form. It's not, trust me, it is all about Jesus forgiving us. But it is about Jesus forgiving us so that we can forgive others, so that we can be in relationship with one another. And it's not just transactional, but relational. Jesus redefines forgiveness in such an incredible way because, again, for many centuries, you think about temple worship, it was transactional. You brought a dove, and they sacrificed the dove, and that's how you got forgiveness. I mean, I'm not knocking. I mean, that's the system that they have. I mean, it was Jesus' system. There were, you know, he went through, he did this. But that's not what he's teaching here. He's teaching something very different. That it doesn't have to just be transactional, but rather relational. And so, a relational understanding of forgiveness now makes even less sense when I talk about the forgiven king, because kings don't have relationships with their subjects. They are the king. We're going to talk about that for a break.
You got some prayer requests over there, sister. You want to add one more to that? My sister, Renee. I love you, Renee. She just messaged and asked prayers for Robert Guilford Sr., who's back in the hospital. That reminded me of this story, reminds me of an incident in a situation that I dealt with personally before I came back and surrendered. Before I totally surrendered to Christ. Uh-huh. I was working at a little store and was offered to buy in a percentage. So I had to come up with this money. So I sold my truck, the first brand new vehicle me and my husband bought together. I sold it to invest. The deal was, I was going to own a certain percentage and I would be the one running the location. I did that. I gave them the money and they reneged on the deal, took my money and reneged. They didn't follow through with their part.
Yeah.
But yet they had my money.
Yeah.
And spent it all. And so I became very angry.
No kidding.
I became super, super mad. Okay.
Yeah.
Angry is not even, I was super furious. And I became an ugly person about it. Where's my money? Where's my money?
Yeah.
And he was making payments and I would go every week, where's my money? Every week I was hitting him, where's my money? Mm-hmm. Where's my money? Where's my money? One day, one Saturday, I woke up. I was having coffee. It was before I spent my mornings with my Jesus. I was sitting there and I was pondering what time I was going to go get my money. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go and forgive that debt. Go forgive them. And ask for that paper that we kept track of all the payments and the amount still owed. And the Lord said, get that paper and I want you to write paid in full. I chewed on it for a while. It was a hard one to swallow, y'all.
No kidding.
I mean, it was thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I chewed on it for a while. And I just couldn't get away from it. This man is from India. I went up there. He saw me coming and you could just see the gloom come over his face when he saw me pull up. And I walked in. No name. Yes, sir. And I said, hey. He said, hey, girl. And his little accent. I have your money. I have it. I said, give me the paper. I said, give me that paper. And he gave me the paper. And I set it on the counter. And with a pen, I wrote in big letters, paid in full. And you could literally see a weight lift off that man.
Yep.
began to conversate. This is before I started going back to church, before all that.